Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. You know it's me. You can tell because I'm howling at you from Smart Animal Talk. And today we're doing an interview with a customer of a new pet. New pet owner interview coming right up with Brett Shulman. Welcome to the show, Brett.
I am so happy to be here. I've heard a lot about you guys and what a great product we're representing here. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, okay. So you are the proud owner of a pet rock. What made you decide to purchase a pet rock?
Well, you know, I've been dealing a lot of stuff with my Saint Bernard, and he's actually been looking for a companion. So the pet rock is a perfect primal companion for my 200-pound Saint Bernard teddy bear.
And, are you saying that your Saint Bernard is as dumb as a rock? I hope not.
No, but he actually likes to play with it.
Oh.
It is really cute. You have to see it for yourself. He knocks it around. He plays with it. The pet rock never, you know, barks back at him. And, you know, you don't have to feed it. But you can also, it's really cute because it has a little leash, so you can take it for a walk with Teddy Bear, which is really funny.
All right. Did you name the rock? Is it called The Rock?
The Rock is The Rock.
Really?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it really comes in handy because it's the perfect example of a great pet, along with Teddy Bear, of course, being the fact that you don't have to feed it. It's just, it doesn't smart back, and it's great. It doesn't complain. It just sits there and has a great attitude.
Okay, well, you know, you named it after a sex symbol. How sexy is this rock?
Oh, quite.
Quite. Will it defend me against, you know, alien attackers, criminals, all sorts, like the rock
actually
does?
What's really cool is if you have a criminal that comes to attack you, you can throw the rock at the criminal.
There you go. So it's multi-purpose.
And you can defend yourself.
You could get out of a locked car with the rock?
It has a lot of positive aspects.
You could hold a door open.
Get out of a locked car. If your car goes in a lake, you could throw the rock in the window, break it, and save your life. I mean, there's a lot of great things to the rock, and that's why the pet rock is just a great idea that's been going on for a long, long time. There's a lot of people that have them, and it's fun. It's a great companion, but it's a great conversation piece, too.
Well, it would make a good door stopper at my dog kennel. It would probably make a good paperweight on my pet radio desk. But it rocks, really. It's the gift that rocks, isn't it?
That's right. And it keeps giving back, too. That's the best part of all.
So, okay, you said it came with a leash. I'm trying to picture this. How often do you walk your pet rock?
Well, you know, for the fun of it, Teddy Bear is quite the struggle as far as taking him out. But it's really cute because the leash goes around the rock. And you could just hold it and just walk down there and have a good time. The carrying case is absolutely adorable. You know, it looks like there's a dinosaur inside with holes and stuff representing a real pet, of course, because, you know, that way the rock can breathe. And it comes, of course, with a little storyboard that's very, very cute that, you know, you could read to your kids if you have any. But if you, like yourself, if you have pets, you know, you could read to your pets and the pets enjoy it.
Okay, now you keep saying words like cute and adorable. And I think if I saw a child with a pet rock, I might think that. But if I see an adult walking a pet rock, I don't know if I'm going to think cute and adorable. I don't know.
Well, I do a lot of cute and adorable things. I also have a TV show, and we do a lot of fun and creative and whacked out funny stuff on Brett TV.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. We actually have another segment to go where we're going to talk about the voiceovers and TV and your Saint Bernard. And believe it or not,
I am 10 times.
I'm convinced that the St. Bernard will be more fascinating a pet than the pet rock. But like you say, you do have to feed a St. Bernard. How much do you think, you know, like a bag of kibble, a big, big bag, how long would you take to go through that with your St. Bernard? Couple days? 3 days?
Well, actually, Teddy Bear eats 3 pounds of food every single day.
Wow.
And unlike, you know, like a child, Teddy Bear likes a different selections of foods. he likes anything from fantastic dog food, which I will not name, all the way to roast beef, to turkey, to ham. He's on a really good diet, but he's been actually the same weight for about a year now, which is absolutely wonderful. But we'll get
along. Okay, well,
that
you know what?
We've
just given the audience a little teaser. We're going to talk more about Teddy Bear the St. Bernard in the next segment and more things dog and cat. But for now, we're going to just finish up with the pet rock because I know your company purchased the pet rock and you also sell pet golf balls. How do people get a hold of these?
Well, they do. I'm just a customer. I simply went over to the petrockthrowbox.com to purchase the rock, and it has a lot of different stuff on there. On the site, it's got music on it. It's really good to look at, and it's fun. You can even buy a couple rocks if you want, but they have a lot of different selections of items that I think are great gag gifts and lots of fun, and they're great conversation piece. I mean, you know, the rock itself was actually invented by the name of Gary Dahl, D-A-H-L, and he sold over 5 million of these things in 1975, and he only did it in 6 months. So now it's coming back a little bit more.
That's
they're
crazy.
Only $13, you know, so they're very inexpensive, and it's just fun to talk about, and, you know, it puts a smile on people's face.
You know, I almost think it's sort of like it would work really well with this thing I used to do. I wrote a book called Pick Your Pet, and people had to, you know, take a quiz, and it would figure out what breed of dog was perfect for them, or maybe a cat, or maybe a ferret, or maybe, you know, a parrot, or whatever. And there really were people who really should not own a pet, and I would have liked to have a rock category for those people, because some people just aren't home enough, just aren't into routine. And every pet, no matter what it is, needs routine, whether it's clean cage, clean water, exercise. Doesn't matter. It needs routine. They all love to know what to expect. So if you're the kind of person who just wants to feed it whenever, play with it whenever, hang out with it when you feel like it, exercise it on a nice day sometimes, then you're going to have a pretty unhappy, messed up pet. And you might pay for it with carpet stains, damage, behavioral problems, escapes, who knows. But it's not going to be harmony. You could get along very well with a pet rock in that case, right?
That is correct. And the good thing is, it's a very low cost to maintain.
Well, okay, yeah, compared to your St. Bernard. We're going to talk more about him in the next segment, but let's just start a little bit of that. I'm sorry to read that he's had some health problems recently.
Yes.
And some people may be surprised that a dog can deal with chemotherapy. So we only have a minute left. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that. But a lot of the medicine we use on humans, we've discovered through use on animals. Sometimes they test them on animals. There's a lot of similarities between dogs and people when it comes to medicine and treatments. And I've seen a pug that was on chemo that I would have to argue with people. They could not believe she was on chemo running around. So we're going to talk about Teddy Bear and how he's doing. Sometimes it's believed that the little ones endure better than the bigger ones, and you couldn't get bigger than Teddy Bear at 200 pounds. So we're going to check back in with you, Brett, after the break. And everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we're back with Brett. But Brett Schulman's not going to be talking to us about the pet rock anymore. He's going to be talking to us about his pet, a St. Bernard, a 200-pound St. Bernard, rescued in Florida, which is sort of odd to me. Where would you least want that fur coat? In the Florida climate. But we'll talk about that. So Teddy Bear, boy, Teddy Bear's a lucky dog from the sounds of it. He's receiving state-of-the-art treatment and an elevator. Okay, come on, Brett. Tell us what that's about.
Well, first of all, Teddy Bear is a rescue from the St. Bernard rescue in Tampa, Florida. And I got him 4 years ago when he was about 105 pounds. He had already gone through 4 different homes, and he was a mess. He didn't know which way was up, down, left, or right.
And how old today, was he? How old was he at that age, at 105 pounds?
He was 3.
Oh, so he's full grown? Oh, my God, and he was only 100 pounds. He was skin and bone. That is so sad.
Yes, and now he is ominous. And by the way, if everybody wants to go check out Teddy Bear the St. Bernard, they can simply go to Facebook and go to Teddy Bear the St. Bernard. Teddy Bear does TV commercials with Bright House. He does TV commercials with other different commercial products. He's representing a lot of different folks out there, like the Orlando Soccer League, the Lions, for one of the crazy teams that sit in the corner that are just out of control. And we love them anyway. But Teddy Bear puts a little mane on and goes out there and makes everyone smile. He goes to little kids' parties, and he loves everybody. He has got the greatest attitude in the world, and he's just so much, and it's so much loved, and he is my child.
But right now, do I understand right, he's partway through chemotherapy? Is that right?
Yes. Teddy Bear, through the grace of my great friends, I discovered about 9 weeks ago that he'd actually fallen in a little hole and twisted his ankle. Well, thank goodness he did, because I took him immediately to the hospital.
Yeah,
and at that point, they recognized that he had osteosarcoma on his left leg, the lower part of his leg. I immediately took him then to the University of Florida, to the small animal hospital, with Dr. Harding, who is a unbelievable animal doctor and surgeon, and she is phenomenal. And he went through all the procedures, and they found out that he just got started, and he had already been. So at that point, we went through 3 different.
Oh, you are so lucky! I've known so many customers lose, mostly Rottweilers, but lose dogs to bone cancer just like this. And usually, the first indication is they think the dog sprained its wrist or twisted it, and then they find out too late. Too late to do anything.
Well,
you're so lucky you got it in time.
Yes, and he's been through 3 treatments of radiation. He's now gone through 4 treatments of chemotherapy. Next week is going to be a determining factor, because in the final analysis, they're doing a complete CAT scan and everything to make sure that the little minute cells have been dissipated through the treatments, of course. And then, of course, he gets a protein shot by Dr. Harding once a month, and he's in great spirits, great health, eating great. Everything else is fantastic, with an unbelievable attitude, and still goes out and, you know, we don't walk as much as we used to, but he still does his TV commercials and his little representations of the stuff that we used to do, and we're just rocking and rolling, and Teddy Bear is going to kick cancer's butt.
Nice one, Teddy Bear. Oh, and then imagine the applause he'll get at the children's wing at the hospital when he goes for a visit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Teddy 1, cancer 0. That'll be
That's
a good
right.
day.
He'll have a great story to tell as a representative of somebody that's just knocked cancer right out.
Nice. Okay, so what's this about an elevator? First of all, I've been asked to train St. Bernards quite a few times in my career, because of the fact that they're really fearful that they're too heavy for things. So the person, you know, that lives in an apartment or moves to an apartment where the lobby has fancy paving or grating or something that the St. Bernard thinks won't hold it, and now it's refusing to go in, this kind of thing. So I'm wondering, how do you get a St. Bernard to go on an elevator?
Well, what was really neat, just to make a long story short, I saw online that they have this really cool lift. It's called the Bruno Lift. And I said, you know what? This really looks really pretty cool. So I did a lot of, I guess, coverage on it to make sure that it was what I was looking for. And then I talked to a local representative. And one of the major problems was actually getting Teddy Bear on there, because sometimes he really doesn't like to go inside elevators or get on top of stuff because he doesn't like the movement. Well, the crazy thing is I just got it finished, and the first thing I did was I stood there on the lift, and Teddy Bear walked up immediately, and we rode it to the top. And it goes from the first floor to the second floor in about 1 minute, and it has a ramp that folds up, which makes it a lot more safer. And Teddy Bear now loves the lift. He's ridden on it now 20 times, and he thinks it's a ride.
What do you do about the heat and his fur coat in your climate?
It doesn't bother him a bit. Even when it was June, July, and August, Teddy Bear would still do events around Central Florida, and it never bothered him once a bit. I mean, obviously, he drinks a tremendous amount of water, which is very good for him. But anything else just really doesn't bother him. And I'm always very careful anyway. I don't overdo anything. I just always make sure that
That's especially when he's not well. And as he gets older, you really got to watch those, you know, between 10 and 4, if you're in Florida, between 11 and 2, the rest of the climate, where it's the hottest times of the day, because dogs can get strokes.
And he likes to sit in the shades, and he likes to drink water with ice. That's his favorite.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question that tests your honesty. St. Bernard question. When he shakes his head, do the splatters hit the walls and the ceiling in your house?
100%.
And yeah, you're very honest.
That's another reason why I love Teddy Bear, because, you know, that doesn't bother me at all. Because, you know, it's just like if your child acts up or your child does something silly or whatever, you know, that's your child. You don't care. I mean, you're going to love your child no matter what. And, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I just figure if my clothes get messed up all the time, which they do, I just take them to the cleaner, get it done, and I'm good. I don't care.
Snail
I love
trails.
Teddy Bear so much, you have no idea.
You got to mop the ceiling. You got snail trails and everything. People have to be handed a little drool towel when they walk in the door.
And I always do have a towel handy because
oh my gosh.
Teddy Bear has actually done stuff with a woman here in Central Florida that owns BB's. Her name is Liz Shepherd, and she owns a modeling agency, and Teddy Bear walks on the stage with the models.
Very nice.
So
well, you know what? We have to go because we've got 3 more segments coming up. Brett,
sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm impressed. Teddy, the supermodel at 200 pounds. He must be the only 200-pound supermodel in the world. And thank you for joining us, Brett. Stay
tuned,
everybody, to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we are about to tackle a serious topic for the next 10 minutes. It's something you should know about. You might be participating in it. You might be just standing by. This is something that we need to do something about. So we're going to be talking about ending the dog meat trade in China, and we're talking with Duo Duo Animal Welfare Project, the spokesperson, Andrea Gung. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you for having me, Deborah.
Thank you for coming. What is Duo Duo all about?
Duo Duo, we really care about all animals. We want all animals from being suffered and abused. But at this time, all our efforts are focusing on ending the dog meat trade in China.
Okay, so if you're representing all animals, but right now you've just decided dogs need it the most, is that what's going on?
Yes, yes, because we are a small organization. We have limited resources, and the dogs kind of closer to my heart. So we decided we're going to, all our campaigns are mainly focused on ending the dog meat trade in China.
Is eating dog meat religious or cultural? Is there some reason it happens in China?
There's a myth about it's a culture thing for people to eat dogs and cats. It actually is not a culture thing. It's a subculture. Only, I would say, at most 10% of people in China eat dogs and cats. 90% of the Chinese disapprove this habit and despise this practice. Now, the reason why people eat dogs, there are two reasons. One is they think it's all myth. They think eating dog meat in wintertime will keep them warm so they won't get sick. And the second reason is mostly men think eating dog meat will give them the actual sexual capability.
You know, there's so much cruelty committed against animals for that. So many things, so many animals, bears and tigers who are slaughtered for one little bit of their body that people believe will let an old man behave like a young man in the bedroom. And it's just such a crime. Okay, so if it's not a longstanding tradition, is it easy to stop? Like, or do you get resistance in China?
I won't say it's easy, but it's not hard compared to other activism. There are two reasons. One reason is, like I said, most people disapprove this practice. So we're already with the majority on the winning side, and it's always easier when you're on the winning side when you have any kind of activism. The second thing is the young generation in China really, really against it. We have to understand China has had this one-child policy in the last 30 years. So those young kids, every family only have one child. So when they grow up, they don't have any siblings. So they grow up with pets. They have dogs and cats, bunny and turtles. They love their pets just as much as we do. So they really hate this dog meat trade. And so I have met a lot of young activists in China, and they really want to stop this. And with social network, and they're all social network savvy, and they have cars. So now that you see a lot of actions happen in China just because the young people now are in their 30s now. So they are they're getting into the society segment. They become reporters. They become lawyers. So they have raised a lot of voice against it. Yeah.
I never even thought of that. The one-child policy would lead to more connection to pets. That's amazing. You know, in the West, sometimes we think, and I don't know if it's true, that in Asia, because prices are so expensive and rental and finding a home so hard and population so dense, we think that only rich people have pets. Is that not the case?
No, that's not the case. But still, pets are still considered as a society symbol status. So you see, people tend to buy dogs just like what we used to do in America. They tend to buy pure breed dogs to show off their wealth. But the young people, because there's so many mixed breed in China, the young people learn from America that to adopt, not to buy. So you see a lot of mixed breed being adopted by non-rich people.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, so I get this argument a lot. You know, people will say to me, how can you argue against eating dogs or cat or using their fur in trim and coats and things when you're not a vegan vegetarian? So how do you deal with that idea? Like, why is the dog meat trade different than pigs or chickens or cows, something else?
The first answer is kind of technical answer. They're different from the cows and pigs in American farm animals. Those dogs being eaten in China, most of them are stolen pets. Okay, so then you probably will ask, well, what if we raise dogs in China? Can people eat them just like we have cows and pigs? The answer to that is still no. Why? Because, okay, then some people will say it's hypocritical when you care about dogs and cats, you don't care about cows and pigs. It's not hypocritical. The way I will put it is called, it's human nature, it's called concern bias. dogs and cats have been brought into our life for different functions, and also they co-evolved with human beings for the last 15,000 years. So they, in the last 100 years, they become a family member. So they're in our living room. They're in front of our face almost every day. So that's just human nature. We care about things that are closer to us. Just like when people have money, they pay their kids to go to college first before they will pay for niece and nephew, or before they pay for strangers' kids and kids go to college. Mm-hmm. The same thing.
That makes
we
sense.
Care about dogs and cats because they are in our living room now. They're a family member. And unfortunately, we don't see cows and pigs every day. We hardly ever see that. So that's why people...
Well,
it's
and they're
really
not being...
hypocritical. It's
well,
just
and what you say,
it's human nature. Yes?
I want to ask you about what you said. Are you saying that most of the dogs are stolen from people's yards and houses, like they're pets?
Yes, yes. If you go to our website, you see the video. Yes, that's the worst part of this dog meat trade in China. Is the dogs are stolen from people's backyard, and that's why a lot
of young activists
are so devoted to stop this, because a lot of them lost their own pets to this dog meat trade.
Right. Okay. So what about people who say to you, well, what about the people who need to survive on the dog meat trade, the people who make their living that way? If we ban dog meat trade, what happens to those people?
Okay. First of all, the people who are involved with dog meat trade, or people who eat dogs, are not starving. They eat dogs for the two reasons I mentioned earlier. Now, mm-hmm. and the dog meat trade, the whole thing is an illegal trade. The dogs are stolen pets, and people who are selling dog and cat meat when are not inspected, like beef and pork. So it's like black market business. So when we deal with illegal business, do we have to care about their livelihood? Just like the drugs.
No. And you know what? We are running out of time. So before we run out of time, I would love for you to tell people how we can help you.
There are many things we can do in America. Let's channel our anger and frustration into actions. So we have to. We have many things we can do here in America. It's hard to talk about it in a very short time. The main thing is to sign the petition on our website, because once we raise enough signatures, we can use that as a voice to talk to different political figures in America to do things. And also,
okay.
we can.
Can you give it out? Can you give out your website so we can send people there? Okay.
Yes, it's Door Door Project. That's D U O D U O Project. project.org.
duoduoproject.org.
org.
Yes. Okay, so that's duoduoproject.org. And you go there and you'll see what's going on. You'll see what kind of dogs they're eating and how it can be stopped. It sounds like the majority of the population wants to stop it. They just need a little help. So thank you very much for joining us today, Andrea.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you very much for caring.
I do care. I hope we can stop this. Okay, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So you're listening to Deb Wolf. You can find more of me at debwolf.ca. Or you can look at my puppies on Facebook, Camp Good Dog. Very, very cute puppies. Only one left for sale. Most of them are still here, though. Couple went home. Beautiful standard poodle puppies. All right, so let's switch focus just a little bit. We have Chris Rubin back on the show, and I've told you about him before. He's come on to explain to you how you can buy stuff like you normally would online, but at the same time, while still getting the best deals ever, contribute to a worthy cause for animals. So if you love animals and you buy stuff online, it's a no-brainer. And today he's got a featured charity. It's Spirit Horse Therapeutic Center. So we're going to have Charles Fletcher joining us. But first, I'm going to welcome Chris Rubin back to the show from Adopt a Shelter. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Deb, thanks as always for having me. I really appreciate the time and energy you put in allowing us to have this time. Yeah, if you are shopping for Valentine's Day for your loved ones, please share the love with all those shelter and rescue animals out there. We have 750 stores, everything you could imagine. Please go to adoptashelter.com, then click through to your favorite store. You will help those animals, including all those fine horses at Spirit Horse Therapeutic Center. So we bring you this segment because there are so many special needs and senior animals out there that require additional resources beyond what the average shelter pet would need. And somebody we found that does a fantastic job with horses is Charles Fletcher. Charles, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
Charles,
welcome to the show, Charles. Welcome to the show, and thanks for all the good work you do for horses.
Thank you. These horses are absolutely the most wonderful animals on the face of the earth.
Charles, tell me how you came about putting together Spirit Horse.
Well, about 25 years ago, I was manager of foxhounds of the Dallas Hunt, and we had about 55 foxhounds, and I was invited to help in a fundraiser with EQuest and Wiley, and I took my members over there, and we helped them raise money. When I saw what they were doing, I said, I love children, I love horses. I've been into horses for over 50 years. I need to sort out what I think about people with disabilities, but this looks like the thing that I need to be doing on my retirement. This looks like the thing that I have developed the skills over the years to do. So when I retired, I spent about 5 years at a local center here and put in about 5,000 hours. And that was very interesting. The center provided what all the centers around the world provide, which is basically recreation. I didn't hear the first word of any child. I didn't see any child walk for the first time or sit up for the first time or be measured non-autistic. And I said, you know, more could and should be done for these children. So I started Spirit Horse. The impetus for starting Spirit Horse was one day I was leading this little girl who had severe autism, and the instructor, I won't tell you which center it was, but the instructor was trying to get her to look in the eye. Now, the eyes are the strongest communications of the entire body. It is extremely difficult for a child with autism to accept your verbal and the eye contact and perhaps tactile from touching on the shoulder at the same time. So that's the reason most people with autism, when you come up and say hello to them, turn their head away. It's too much for them. And this was too much for this child. And the instructor wound up yelling at her, "Look at me, look at me," and she didn't. I took her aside a little later on and whispered to her, "It's okay, it's okay." She turned and looked me in the eye and smiled. And I said, I can make a difference. I can do something. So I started Spirit Horse, and I based it on studies from major medical schools and universities, not on therapeutic riding because there were none, but I wanted to learn everything I could, for example, about the autistic brain. The studies were very, very enlightening, and I made up some simple methods to attack the core deficits, and they worked. And so we have heard 141 children with autism speak the first word of their lives. We've seen 67 children with cerebral palsy walk for the first time the doctor said would never walk. And we have seen 55 children sit up for the first time. And that's a big thing with some families. I have a family who had a has a child that was 16 years old and had wore diapers all her life. She could now sit up
huge.
On the toilet.
That's
what
just so huge
thing.
For their dignity, for their hope, for everything. Participation in life, everything.
Yes. But now we do this with horses, and we pick our horses very carefully. Our horses are all old like me. They're 15 to 35 years old. We wouldn't dream of taking a younger horse. And I've been in horses 55 years now, and I believe I can tell, mostly by looking at their eye, to see if they have a good eye, if they have kindness and love in their hearts. So we're very selective. We right now have 25 horses and ponies between the ages of 15 and 35.
You know what? I don't read horses that well. I read dogs really well. But when I look in a horse's eye, most of the time, the thing I can tell yes or no for is whether they have sort of a sense of humor or a sense of mischief. That I pick up on, which is usually the horse I pick if I have a choice. But how do you tell when a horse has that look? What is it that you're looking for?
You see the eagle in the eye. You see this big, soft, brown eye that has love in it and has the willingness to go forward and do anything. And our horses, old horses and ponies, have that willingness to do that, and they serve their children. They know which children belong to them. And they serve them with love and affection. They are gallant old horses. Unfortunately, we have arrived at a point that is very difficult for us at Spirit Horse. We lost $105,000 in 2014, and I made that up from a $100,000 prize I won. They foolishly awarded me for the top social entrepreneur of the United States for 2014. But I gave that $100,000 to Spirit Horse, and that got us back into the black. Then last year, we lost $125,000. I drained my life savings, and then they owed me $40,000 for receipts I had from credit cards, and I forgave all those. So I gave $125,000, and we had $125,000 loss last year. I predict the loss this year will be about $250,000. I have no more money. I've exhausted my savings. I have Social Security and my pension.
Okay, well, you know what? I think this is where Chris comes in. Chris, what could people do? We only have a couple minutes left, and I really want to make sure we get the listeners who love horses, love kids, and get why this is important. Kids are walking for the first time. I mean, this is big stuff. What can they do to help?
Let me say one thing quickly, if I may.
Sure.
I'm committed to the donors of these old horses and ponies to feed them and care for them in first class for the rest of their lives and bury them under the mulberry tree in the back pasture. So I have, we've had, because of those losses, to stop our teaching program. We still have our clinics, but I have committed myself to somehow feeding these old horses and ponies and giving them a loving burial when they die. So that's where we are right now.
So there's a couple of things that I'm going to suggest. One is I think the work that you're doing is so wonderful because the human-animal bond is, so, you know, we understand in vague terms what it all means. But have you ever heard, Charles, of the organization called HABRI, Human-Animal Bond Research Institute?
I'm sorry, I haven't.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you in touch with them. Stephen Feldman is the director. I know him personally. I don't know how he can help, but I know that what you're doing is God's work. You're making these kids do things that nobody ever anticipated. You're giving homes to these horses. So there's such a wonderful
human-animal
bond that's
taking place. Yeah, it's just amazing. And adopt a shelter, Chris. How can people contribute here? How can they make their spending count for these horses?
We need cash to buy horse feed. I figure I'll be feeding these horses for 10 years. I'm 77 years old.
I think that if people want to contribute, the easiest way for them to do, with Valentine's Day coming up, shop online through AdoptAShelter.com and designate those commissions that the retailers pay to Spirit Horse. It's
great.
So simple, it doesn't cost you an extra dime. And we have stores, whether it is for the horse feed, whether it's Tractor Supply, whether it's Fredericks of Hollywood, whether it's ProFlowers.com. Get your businesses involved, your local communities, those folks who have the desire to buy business travel, office paper, treatments. Everything will generate money for Charles so he can continue this wonderful work.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. We are running out of time, but I know you've got one more thing to say. Charles, go ahead.
We provided over 200,000 lessons free of charge in the last 14 years.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Okay, everyone. So next time you're shopping, do this. AdoptAShelter.com. Go for it. All right, everybody. We have to go, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me, Charles and Chris. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Okay, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be talking about the skin and the coat, problems and solutions coming up next.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I might have been singing a little too much lately. Maybe that's the problem because I'm going to a big event this weekend. If you're in Vancouver and you like Jewish music or you like Jewish learning, then there's an event you might want to look up called Limud, L-I-M-U-D. You can check it out. But I'm going to be there. I hope my voice recovers before then. In the meantime, I'm hosting Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio right now. And we're talking with Becky Starr. She's not in Vancouver. She's boasting about her 70-degree sunny weather. And for once, it's not bugging me because it's sunny up here in Vancouver today. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Hi, Deb. Always nice to talk to you. Always nice to be here. I'm sorry your throat's having a little challenge.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. It'll be good. It'll be good by the weekend. That's all that matters at this point. This is my last live radio show this week, and I've made it. You're my last segment, so we're good. I got all my howls in. That's the tricky part when you have a cough or a sore throat. So, Becky, we're going to be talking about skin and coat, and you know, sometimes people overlook these areas, or they think, "Oh, my dog just—that's just the way he looks." They don't remember that he used to be all shiny and glossy with no thin patches and no wiry, wispy bits. Sometimes the coat and the skin are a big window into something, and it's easy to fix sometimes. So what should we be looking for and watching, and what are some of the problems and solutions you want to talk about today?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, I love doing quick tips because, as you know, all these years in the animal business, there is such a big topic about anything. It doesn't matter what your topic of talking about. You know, there's always exceptions and rules and things to look at. So I like doing kind of quick tips that a pet guardian can kind of notice right away and at least become aware, you know, of what they're seeing or what they're looking at or how to identify that there's a problem. And as you mentioned, you know, the skin is the largest organ of the body, and our cells turn over quickly and rapidly. But, you know, they always are an indicator of what's going on inside. It's like us humans, right? We pay a lot of attention to our hair and our skin. And when we see these things happening or hair falling out or rashes or bumps or lumps or anything else on ourselves, we take it quite seriously. And we, you know, immediately, you know, hopefully...
the same owner. Yeah, she starts losing hair on her head. You better believe she's going to look after it. She's not going to say, "Oh, well, you know, that's just how I look in winter." No, no.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or you wake up with something all over your face, you know, we pay attention. And I think so many times that people forget, you know, oh, Mother Nature takes care of, you know, your pets. And it's just so not true. As we've talked in the past, our animals are domesticated. Things have changed. They can't take care of themselves. They can't take care of their skin and coat. they can't always tell you what's going on or what's wrong. So we need to always look at our pets the same way we would look at ourselves and address ourselves. And that's my rule of thumb, and it's simple to use and simple to remember. So one of the things, you know, as we know, most pets, other than some rare breeds, are completely covered, you know, all their skin is covered with hair. It's either being shed regularly or non-shedding breeds, it still continues to grow. The general condition of your pet's skin and coat are good indicators, like we said, of your overall health, as health and nutrition kind of come from the inside and influence the texture, condition, luster, feel of your pet's coat. A healthy coat, no matter what, should be shiny and smooth. It should not be brittle or coarse. It should be supple, clear, not dry, dull, greasy, flaky, itchy, bumpy, scabby, shedding excessively, or perhaps visible signs of some kind of rash or growth.
But what about stinky? It should not be stinky.
No, stinky. Well, that always causes, any of those things cause odor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when you see this, obviously, if you're seeing any kind of skin and coat distress, it's screaming out to you, there's a problem. And it's time for a visit to your vet to narrow down and rule out and locate the problems. Now, the most common examples of weaknesses, let's say, that affect your pet's coat and is nutrition or stress, hormone imbalances, metabolic problems, digestive disorders, parasites, worms, fleas, ticks, mites, allergies, and, of course, catastrophic illnesses. When any of these things show themselves to you, there is something wrong, and it's time to go in and get this monitored. Now, if your pet seems kind of healthy and bright and healthy and cheery and like nothing's going on, you can try a few things at home. Something you and I spoke about in the past about diet and allergies, but 85% of skin and coat problems are related to your pet's diet. In order to to maintain healthy skin, just like a human, you have to have, you know, nutrition is your vital key. You require a properly balanced diet that has digestible proteins, carbohydrates, fats, minerals, vitamins, to provide, you know, the calories to meet the energy needs, you know, to regrow hair and to restructure that body. And if the nutrients are poorly digestible, they will not only become unavailable to meet the body need, but they'll also put an excess load on the liver and kidney, which is the elimination process, right? So when this toxicity backs up because it's not doing their job, this is one of the main reasons you start seeing an effect on the skin and coat. Of course, every pet's different with their diet, their specific life stages, their needs, their quality and balance to good nutrition, and this is something that you can't take advantage of by grabbing a bag off the shelf at the grocery store and think that it's healthy. Of course, you can, you know, if you're having these problems, you can talk to your, you know, mentor or your veterinarian about the correct diet for your pet and what feels correct for you. One of the biggest thing with pet food is usually what's wrong is your dog actually has an allergy to it. And this is the second largest factor affecting the skin and coat. You and I were talking one day about, you know, a dog that you were working with that had so many problems, and they found that they were allergic to grass. And
oh, yeah, the standard poodle named Van, who wears boots now. You know what, everyone, you are listening to Becky Starr. She's from Redstone Media Group, just so you know, representing magazines like Animal Wellness, Equine Wellness, Feline Wellness, Canadian Dogs, and a couple others, including one for the veterinarians. And so she's my guest today on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. All right, Becky, you are totally on the money with all of this. I want to just add to what you said so far. When you went through the things to look for, one of the things was like a wiry, scratchy coat. You got to know what your dog's normal is. So if you have an Airedale Terrier,
yeah, you
need to know what normal feels like to know if your dog isn't normal anymore.
That's
so,
right.
You know, this does vary a little bit. The smell, too. I mean, there's a musky smell to a Labrador, a sort of fishy smell to a Blue Heeler. There's a woolly smell to a border collie. Different dogs have different scents. That's okay. You just need to know when it smells wrong for your dog, or looks wrong, or feels wrong, or he's scratching too much. And the one thing you mentioned in the end of the list, the fleas, that's the thing I find is the most common cause of all of this. First and foremost is a flea problem or a flea allergy. And then the second is often the food problem, like you're saying.
Absolutely. Those are the two things you will see the most. When people do allergy tests or go through all of these things to try to narrow things down, it's usually, you know, food and fleas. And so that's why I'm suggesting, you know, people can try some stuff at home on their own, you know, changing the diet, you know, eliminating particular things in your house, you know, that they're exposed to all the time. Maybe you're using a chemical in the house, or maybe there's a certain fabric that they're laying on their bed all the time, or like you said, in something on their grass, you know. You can try starting little changes.
You know, a lot of dogs react to cedar, even though cedar is a terrific thing to use if your dog doesn't react, because it's a natural flea retardant. So they put it in beds, and they put it in shampoos, they put it all over the place. Some dogs get a blistery little beady little bumpy rash all down their bellies, and then they get little almost like pimples. And it just gets raw and irritated, infected, and people can't figure out why. That's why, you know. So sometimes you have to be a bit of a detective, don't you, Becky?
Absolutely, you know, because we take so much for granted. And so, you know, and a lot of times some hints for you is a season, right? As you've probably seen, seasonal changes. If your dog's going along, the coat looks good, everything's healthy, shiny, happy, no itching, no symptoms of any kind, then all of a sudden you see a change. They're itching, they're scratching, they have rashes, they have bumps. It can be a seasonal change, and especially going back to like spring and summer. That's usually when you see the most horrific changes in spring and summer, because the fleas are back, they're out in public, they're exposed to pesticides or, you know, new grass or rice seed or whatever everybody's doing to fertilize. And so a lot of times if it's a seasonal change, then you kind of know it has not much really to do with the diet, but something environmental. And so,
well, and you know what? What you said last week about the paws, if you can brush your dog, if you can hose it down, if you can get these allergens off of it, it's so much better off. So if you've got the kind of dog that can be clipped short and you choose to leave it long in winter, but it has seasonal allergies, do it a favor. Get it the short puppy clip for spring and summer, or put a jacket on that you remove. So now all the pollen and all that stuff your dog's reacting to isn't on him 24/7.
That's right. And one of the things I love about what you just said about the washing part, this is another big part of skin and coat, right? So that's kind of the quick tips of easy to know. If it isn't looking right, there's something going on. But again, now we hear a lot of controversy about giving baths, right? Washing their paws is one thing. But giving a bath.
Too much. People say, oh, you'll destroy your dog's oil. On the other hand, the person says, my dog just rolled in horse poop. I have to give it a bath. Like, there's no, I have to. So, you know.
Yeah
you
and,
do.
I
do.
I love going back.
Thank you
that
for
theory.
Hiring me to do this for you, nice lady. Okay.
Yeah,
that's how it goes sometimes.
And I love going back. I always go back to the theory to look at yourself. Imagine if you never took a shower and you never washed your hair. Do I need to say more? It's not a pretty picture, right? Mother Nature's not helping us out.
Or brushed your teeth, and yet dogs are remarkably inoffensive considering all that.
Uh-huh. And so it's exactly the same for your pets. All animals benefit from regular grooming, keeping their coat free of, you know, dirt, debris, parasites, loose hair. And that actually helps distribute more natural oils in the hair shafts, you know, by combing every day, massaging or grooming. And, you know, you can keep a little brush right next to your favorite chair while you're watching TV, or if you're sitting out on the patio. So it's just handy. And, you know, daily brushing cuts out on the shedding, which makes everyone in the house happy. The dander, in case people in your home have, you know, some allergens to it. It's great for their circulation, great for oils. And becoming, you know, not allowing the hair to become tangled and matted and painful. You know,
it's good for training too, because it forces both you and your pet to go for touch in all kinds of places every single day. Because otherwise, you know, it could be 6 months before you try and touch your dog, maybe under the tail or on the paw. And that's when you discover, oh, wait a minute, he doesn't like this anymore. He's not letting me. Right now, when I need him to, because he has a sliver, he's decided this is his new thing. Great. You know, wish I'd done this last week, right? So yeah. Keep it up. Keep it fresh. Dogs develop new habits and new little weird things all the course of their life. Just as easy as they can learn a new habit, like at grandma's house, we're allowed to beg and it works. They can learn any new habit, including not letting you touch their bum or their paws or whatever's bothering them. So you want to get them really used to it all the time, and brushing really helps with that.
It does. And on as far as which ones to use, you know, there are no perfect thing. I think it matters on every dog, every type of hair, you know, what kind of soft brush or wire brush, or, you know, what it matters about the dog and getting them acclimated. So you just go shopping, do your search, do your homework, figure out what works best for your pet. Now, the bathing part, yes, dogs need baths, just like you do. I personally bathe my dogs once a week, rain or shine. I know they're dirty. I can smell them being dirty, and they're very healthy. But what comes in from outside, right? And, of course, depending on, like you were saying, outdoor activity, what did they just roll in? What did they jump in? Are they a mud puddle or jumper? You know, and that could determine your frequency.
Or if you have a small dog and it's really social, big dogs are peeing on him. Yes,
yeah.
They are. Uh-huh. You may not even see it. He may go right underneath on purpose. The dog might not even mean to do it. It's part of how he establishes who his big friends are. Yuck.
Yeah, so
yuck, bathe that dog.
I don't want what they've been having on them all week. So they go in the shower every week, and I bathe away. You know, of course, if it's freezing out, I warm up the house, you know, and I'll even blow them dry, if you know, not to keep them cold. The big thing to
that
remember,
that costs $20 in Vancouver to go to a blow-dry bar.
Yeah,
your dogs are getting the life of luxury over there. You guys, I've got to tell my audience, we're almost done. Becky, we only have a minute left. Can you tell them what you want them to know?
Never use human shampoo or conditioners. Choose all natural pet shampoos that are natural. They always need a conditioner, and the greatest conditioner on the world is coconut oil. You can take a little, rub it in your hand, and after their bath, their skin will change. Even if they have healthy skin, they will glow like
nothing. There you go again with the spa ingredients. I use coconut oil on my hair, and I've noticed my cats will do anything to get to eat that. They will do anything.
Yep.
They will lock the jar
they
on the floor to make it break if they can.
Internally, a little teaspoon a day, and externally, rub it in a massage, leave it in, and you will see such a difference in dry, itchy coats while you're working on the internal parts of this situation.
Did you just offer to give me a coconut oil massage? Did I get that right? Becky, did I get that right? Did you just offer to give me a coconut oil massage, or did
I
misunderstand?
You come down here to sunny California. I live right on the beach. We'll make sure you're hooked up with a great coconut oil massage on the Queen Mary.
Oh, now you're talking. All right, everybody. You heard it here. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. This has been Deb Wolf. If you want to see those puppies, they're on Facebook, Camp Good Dog, or you can check me out at debwolf.ca. And we've been talking with Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group, representing a few magazines, including Animal Wellness, Equine Wellness, Feline Wellness, and Canadian Dogs, and the IVC Journal, AHVMA Journal as well. If you want any of those magazines, let me know. We'll set you up with a free subscription. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Until next time, from Smart Animal Talk and All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're